Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
You know, we all have history with God. And, you know, I think about the time that we're in right now, that what historians are going to write about 2020 and 2021. And I think about the Jesus movement back in the 70s. Most of the men of God that have impacted our lives got saved between 1969 and 1974. Well, during that time, man, there was a sexual revolution going on in America. There was a revolution of drugs and all kinds of other things, and protests and a lot of things that are similar to today. And what I believe God's doing is, where sin abounds, grace so much more abounds. The Bible in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, says that there was darkness over all the earth. But listen, and deep darkness over all the people. But we're the light. And see, that's how we have to look at this. See, we're in a new time with God's kingdom right now. I'm just telling you that God's doing something. There's a dispensation of the Spirit of God, that what God's doing in our lives is fresh and new. And some of you guys may feel like up to this point you've been left out. Well, I believe those days of you being left out are over. I believe it's time for you not just to put a jersey on and come to the bench with everybody and be a part of the locker room, but really get on the field and make hay while the sun's shining. In Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to start at the 18th verse. Now, listen to this, how this is for this time of revival and this time in America. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children. Underline that, highlight that you teach God's word to your children. You know, it's interesting. I remember when I was in these pastors' meetings, and guys were talking about years and years ago that they're removing God from the public schools, and they're removing prayer from schools and the Pledge of Allegiance and all that stuff. Yeah, I think that stuff's all wrong. Okay, but I'm not looking for teachers and principals and coaches to teach my kids God's word. I'll take that responsibility. See, I think if there's one message that I would have for the church today, it's take personal responsibility. Take responsibility for what's happening. Don't just, listen, we just can't talk about the problems. Man, I was just in a meeting, and Pastor Jeff Perry, one of my best friends in ministry, I've known him for 40 years. I met him a couple weeks after I became a Christian and I moved to Tulsa to go to Bible school. But he said the key is that David had his gaze upon God and he glanced upon Goliath. See, I think what's going on today, we're gazing upon the problems. We're gazing upon politics. We're gazing upon racial equality. We're gazing upon the economics. And you know what? We're just glancing at God. I think it's time for us to take the giants down. Man, our gaze has got to be on God, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then everything that we have need of is going to be attracted into our lives. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house. Listen how practical this is. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. See, right here in verse 20, what does your house stand for? What does your property stand for? Listen, if it's not to propagate the gospel, I don't want to have any part of it. You know, I remember as a relatively new Christian, and I'd be out in the street just preaching because no one's taking their pulpit and throwing it at me. No one's inviting me to go, hey, why don't you come in? You're rough as a cob. Why don't you come in and preach in my church and make a mess of everything? And so you know what? But I had this word in me, this fire on the inside of me. I didn't know much, but what I knew was burning intensely in my heart. So man, I'd go to bars and I'd go to pool halls and I'd go to back alleys and I'd go to parking lots. And I remember being in bars. I was at a biker bar on Admiral back in 1979. And I went in there and this guy said, "Why are you bringing this in here?" He said, "I left church 25 years ago because I didn't want to hear this anymore. This isn't supposed to be happening in this bar." Well, let me tell you, that's one of those moments that I had in my life where God showed me what I was doing was right. Why? There's resistance. How many of you guys want to be a strong Christian? How many of you guys want to be a strong Christian? See, if this is revival and we come out of this the way we came into it, I'm out. I'm not kidding you. Let me tell you, it's easy for me when I see in God's word that God promises healing and won't doesn't withhold anything from us that he calls good in his promise. Did you guys know that? God withholds no good thing. See, all we have to do is walk uprightly. All we have to do is believe, put our trust in him, and you know what? Proclaim it from the rooftops. But let me just tell you, man, those guys, if those guys that I know that are wrong, absolutely wrong, but if those guys that'll say, "Well, I asked God to heal my kid and he said no," let me tell you, they're absolutely wrong. God doesn't say no to his promise, ever. All he says is yes to his promise. You proclaim his promise, guess what happens? God says yes. God agrees with you. But let me tell you, if God's not the healer, I'm out. If God's not the provider, I'm out. I'm not kidding you. These guys, let me tell you, Christians that are going halfway, Christians that'll be going, "Man, here's the life in it and here's the fatalism in it." See, I'm out then. And see, the bottom line with this is that for me, that this absolutely, this has to change lives. That's what we bought into, right, Sandy? We bought into change lives. And you know what? Mine's changing by the day. I wanted to say by the hour, but that'd be exaggerating a little bit. But every day, my life, man, I see something. And I'll tell you what, it's the goodness of God. Everybody say that, the goodness of God, that leads men to repentance. What leads men to repentance? God's changing me right before your eyes. Why? Because of his goodness. That your days and the days of your children might be multiplied. Man, you think about it. You think about how much money you make an hour, 8 or 10 hours a day, whatever it is that you work. And you know what? You begin to multiply that. And not just you. You might be somebody that's just clocking in and clocking out every day. And that's your vision for your career and your life. Well, God wants to flip that. God wants to multiply even to your children. See, why? Because it's the land that he's promised us. It's the whole shooting match that he's promised us. See, I think a lot of us some of you guys were raised in church. You were raised just to accept the sliver of the pie that's due you. Well, let me tell you, that's not this church. We want the whole pie. I want the whole pie for you, for your spouse, for your children, for your home. I'm just telling you, the whole pie. See, what we've got to do is we've got to raise our children not to sit up in the bleachers. We got to raise our children not just to put a jersey on and be on the sideline, be in the locker room. We got to raise our children to be on the field and want the ball when the game's on the line. See, that's the problem that I have with the church. Is right now that it's like, well, we got to be careful what we say. We got to be careful. Let me tell you what my Bible says: be careful for nothing. The word speaks. We cannot water it down. We cannot sugarcoat it, and it remain. Are you guys listening? It doesn't remain the word if we water it down or we sugarcoat it, and we've got to understand that. It's going to be multiplied to you and your children, the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. Like the days of the heavens above the earth. See, we quote All the time, we quote, on earth as it is in heaven, out of the Lord's Prayer. But you understand, right there in Deuteronomy, it's like the days of the heavens on this earth. I mean, think about it. Man, how many of you guys are going to have a mansion in heaven? Can I see your hands? How much strife is there going to be there? No, we always start with, oh, well, God healed. He's in heaven. God healed him. And you know what? It's so easy for guys to say, well, you know, healing through death. It's like, for real? No, for real. That's why Jesus was whipped 39 times so that I could die and be healed. No, that doesn't make a lick of sense. It does not match the nature of God. It doesn't match the nature of Jesus, who is God incarnate on this earth. You know what he did? Went about doing good and healing all. You know what's amazing? What's amazing is Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. God, I want to see your glory. And you know what God showed him? God showed him his goodness. See, we miss out so much because we're thinking, man, you know, God's glory, man, it's gonna be fiery, it's gonna be amazing, it's gonna be sparks, no. You know what? It's just God's goodness. In Isaiah 11, verse 9, they shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain or my authority, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. See, people, this isn't about us just, well, listen to Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I'm transitioning tonight in this revival where, yeah, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now what we're adding is the glory of God that the Holy Spirit brings into the mix. That's what's being added tonight. It's not just, hey, let this build. Well, now let me tell you what we've got is we've got a foundation in this revival right now. And instead of building and fortifying the foundation, we're building up now. And you know the word that God just gave me about an hour ago is lift up your head and open your eyes and look at the fields. They're already wide unto harvest. That's their name. Okay, when I say look at the fields, everybody look over there. Lift up your head and open your eyes and look at the fields. Okay, that was goofy. Okay, it could have worked, you know. They don't all work, do they, Sandy? Not really. Oh, Taylor's so quick. Taylor, like you gotta get a ratchet to get an amen out of him. But he wants to go like this, man. It comes just like this. Is that how was that? Was that witty? No, it was terrible. It's a high standard that Taylor you keep for simple honesty. What was I talking about? The fields. Lift up your head. Okay? Open your eyes. Listen, it doesn't, however you've been looking, the trajectory of your sight, lift it. Man, the Bible says to look above where your help comes from. See, so much of our life we're gazing on the problem and glancing at God. Instead of man just focusing on God, man, where our eyes are so lifted, it's like, oh my gosh, man, you're never gonna be, man. When Sandy and I decided that we wanted to raise our kids to have such high standards that it was ridiculous expecting them to live up to them. And you know something? They have. See, we've got to understand that. I believe that you guys. I believe you'll rise to the expectation of whoever's leading your life. I truly do. It's not just that people know about, people that know his glory theoretically. I mean, you think about the glory of God. When Moses talked about the glory of God, he said, what I see is God's goodness. I see God's mercy. I see God's grace. I see God's help. It's like, oh, wait a second. The glory of the Lord is risen. It's rising in our midst. What's it going to do? Man, grace and mercy and his help and his goodness and hope, it's all going to rise in us. And it's not just us knowing that glory theoretically, but knowing his glory, listen, intimately and personally and tangibly. Man, see, we're expecting none of this to be tangible. See, I see in the Word, there's three aspects to the presence of God. There's his omnipresence, he's everywhere. There's his inner presence, he's on the inside of us. And then there's the manifest, tangible presence of his Spirit that it's like, oh my gosh, God's here. God's in my home. See, Psalm 72, verse 18 says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. See, what's mentioned here is his glorious name and his glory. See, let me tell you what his name is. His name is Jesus. That's the name above all names. A lot of people can talk God. There's people talking Christ. But let me tell you, you bring Jesus into the mix, that's the name above every name. That's the name where demons are repelled by that name. They have to bow. They're subject to that name. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men, see, people aren't really living without God's glory. As long as I live, God's glory is going to be apparent in, around, and through my life. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, you know what's interesting? He said his glory, his presence, and miracles. Two different things. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. That, see, this is why it's such a big deal to me, men, that you're here Friday at 11:30 for lunch and you're here at some point Saturday praying. They saw his glory. And in addition to that, they saw signs and miracles. See, this goes from being mystical, because I think that's how the church has kind of pronounced God's glory. It's kind of mystical. It's ethereal. It goes from mystical to real. Man, I want to inject some seed into your heart about the glory of God tonight. Man, making sure that, man, it's on the tip of your tongue. Where it's like, God, did I see your glory? God, your goodness. What should we be looking for from God at this time? What if I'm right? This is a new time. What if I'm right and God's doing a new thing? What if things that are happening on this earth are solely happening because God wants to do a new thing with his people? Let me tell you, for 40 years, the children of Israel missed him in the wilderness. God's glory was present. Signs and miracles were present. In John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Think about that. The Word became flesh and lived with us, and we beheld his glory. Notice there's going to be a connection here. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now listen, full of grace and truth. It's referring to Jesus. The Word manifest in the flesh. Now think about the Word, Jesus being the Word made flesh and God's glory being interconnected. The manifestation of God's glory becomes physical when we put our trust in God's Word. See, this is the whole idea. See, this can't be mystical anymore. This can't be ethereal anymore. I mean, we can't be those people that are saying, I just don't know God. You never know what God's going to do. Can I tell you? I always know what God's going to do. No matter what's going on, I know what God's going to do. You know why? He takes counsel in his Word. He's going to stay within the parameters of his Word. What he has promised, that's what he's going to do. And he's not going to change, and he's not going to deviate, and he's not going to lie. I'm telling you, you lift your head, and if you're looking at this level and you're looking at sickness, and you lift your head here and you see health, that's where my eyes are going. That's where my gaze is going. I'm not glancing at that sickness anymore. I'm not giving that sickness any credence. How often in your life have you given sickness credence? You give sickness the predominancy of your mind. How often does that happen? Man, the symptoms of what you're going through are raging. And so many people, I'll tell you, there's people that say, man, I've got faith for finances. I just don't have faith for health. You know why? You're feeling that all the time. Your senses are picking up those symptoms. And let me tell you, that's why God gave us, listen, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in his Word, believe also in me is what Jesus said. But it troubles our heart. It's like, God, what's going on? Why? Because you're focusing on that sickness. You lift your head and open your eyes. What you're going to see are white fields of harvest. And what's that harvest? That harvest is health. That harvest is prosperity. That harvest is peace. That harvest is joy. That harvest is love. That harvest is so much hope, and it's going to anchor your soul. Man, what God's done, just think about the last year. I doubt there's many people in this audience right here tonight that lost money in this last year. I doubt that there is. How'd that happen? There was a pandemic. Everything was shut down. I'll tell you why. Because the pandemic's here and God's here. And if this is where we're pointing, we're always looking above where our help's going to come from. What are you going through right now? Let me tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see God's glory. Man, you're not going to see. Otherwise, man, you just look peripheral. The Bible says this. Our help comes from above. The Bible says promotion comes from above. It specifically says it doesn't come from the north, the south, the east, or the west. If your gaze is lateral like this, there's no promotion. And I'd venture to say, most everybody in this room has missed out on promotion in their life because they've been looking for people to provide it. They've been looking for jobs to provide it. They've been looking for titles to. And you know what? That's not where it happens. Everything's above. You got to lift your eyes. See why? Glory. It's heavy in weight. See, what that sickness is that sickness becomes heavy. Those symptoms become heavy. So the scales of our heart, God brings his glory into the play. Now, those symptoms are no match for it. See, God's will is to manifest his Word in us. The entrance of his Word brings light. That light is the life of God. The life of God brings the weight of heaven. And it counterbalances everything in our life. This spiritual warfare has shifted in our midst. Let me tell you the shift that's happened. For you guys that are relatively new here, there's a shift that's happened spiritually in this church. And we're not fighting, we're not moving from to victory. We're moving from victory. It's victory to victory to victory to victory. It's not, oh my gosh, it's horrific. My life is horrific. I need some help. It's people coming in and saying, I've tasted and seen that the Lord's good. God's mercies are brand new for me today. There's nothing that's encumbering me. There's nothing that's weighting me down. God's mercy has eliminated all the excuses and all the explanations that I've wanted to have not to walk in the triumph that God's given me. See, we're operating from victory to victory. See what Paul said in Philippians 3:12, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. That's what we're doing right now. We're pressing on. This is an unstoppable force right here. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. See, what has laid hold of you? Victory. So what are you laying hold of now? Victory. What's laid hold of you? Advancement. What are you laying hold of now? Advancement. What's laid hold of you? Health. What are you laying hold to? Health. See, that's what we're laying hold of. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward toward those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You've had people tell you you can't do it. You've had people that have doubted, and you know what? You've accepted those seeds of doubt, have impregnated your heart with doubt. Not anymore. I got new seed in my life. I got triumph. I got victory in my life. You know what? It comes in seed form, but it's been sown so richly and so much. And you know what that, let me just tell you what this does. And this is going to be amazing. What that seed does is victory is implanted into your heart. It's been sown into your heart tonight. And you know what it does? That seed does? That seed sprouts then. And that seed comes to maturity as a plant. And that plant is a plant of renown. Why? Because that seed produces fruit that's full of seed. So what happens is the seed of victory that's been sown in your heart multiplies throughout your life now. See, that's what we have to understand. That's what we've got to look at. That's what so many, I was praying for Joel and Christy today. And I was thinking about Christy, who is so involved and, man, so, and she, man, if I gave you the backstory, man, she met with some of the lead team and talking about a position on staff, and she said, I want the position, I just don't want the pay. She said, I don't want it to affect what God's doing. Man, her fingerprint, man, I walked out, I teach a discipleship deal at 5:30, and I was walking over to the staircase and I walked by dozens of people that are coming in. Man, what are you guys doing? Man, we're going to 301. We're going to 301. I walked down there. Man, Christy's got everything, and her team's got Laura Denmark, a bunch of people that are down there, and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh. But you think about the seed that's in her life. All it is seed of victory. She's making disciples every single day. She's thinking about it. She's eating up with it. And I was praying for the Coggins, and I was thinking about that. I was thinking, there's so much seed in her life now, and it's beginning to sprout, and it's beginning to branch out, and it's beginning to produce fruit. And you know what that's fruit's full of? more seed, more seed, more seed. And what did David say? I always connect Pastor Sandy with this verse. Because here's what I want you to leave with this verse, this word in your heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We aren't a people that draw back. We aren't a people that lose heart. Well, but I don't know if I fit in. Hey, can I tell you, you're in good company? I'm not sure I do either. But guess what? When we don't fit in laterally, there's only one way that we can look to fit in, and it's with Him. Why? Because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. I don't fit in here. I fit in here. Guess where I fit in? Where my help comes from. Guess where I fit in? Where my harvest is. So many people have missed out on their harvest because they're looking at it here. And that's not where you look. I'm telling you, it's the word of the Lord for you. You look here. Man, what God wants to do with your business, like you're thinking now, it's going well, right? I'm assuming. You're sitting in the second row right in the middle with a smile on your face. If business sucked, you'd be kicking a can in the parking lot waiting for your wife to get out of church. But you know what? The word that I believe the Lord would have for you tonight is you haven't seen anything yet. See, I believe we're in a place right now. God's going to be God. He's going to show Himself as God. And you know where it's going to start? It's going to start in the Big C Church. The Big C Church is not the corporate church globally. The Big C Church is the church that's in your home. I think we've gotten that definition way wrong. The church, Matt, the church in your home is going to flourish. See, that's what this is. This is family. This is an extension of our home here. God's glory manifest over all the earth. We can, do you understand? Moses saw it. It was tangible. It was real. Nothing ethereal about it. See, and now that Jesus rose from the dead, we can look at God's face now. Moses couldn't. We could behold His glory. I believe I receive the goodness of God. That's His glory. God, we love You and we praise You. We thank You for this night. God, I thank You for the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. God, because You're omnipresent, You're interpresent, but now You're tangibly present. God, that there's babes in Christ that just need a tangible touch from You. You know, Jeff Perry this evening said, man, we build muscles through resistance and protein. And what hit me is resistance, the world's given it. Protein, the meat of God's word, He gives it. We're not shying away from the resistance because we're getting so much meat from God. We can run through troops. We can leap over walls. Man, if you're here today and you just need to get your life right with God for whatever reason, maybe you've been apathetic. Maybe you've just been in a trap. This isn't about you cozying up to God tonight. This is about a supernatural, intimate relationship with the Creator of the heavens and earth. If you're here and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Just lift your hand right now, wherever you are. Just lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just lift your hand. Just say, I need to get my life right with God. Is there anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Please. I got an itchy trigger finger through this. Well, it's not just a revival. You scratch your head, you're going to heaven. You stretch, you're getting your life right with God. Is there anybody else? You need to raise your hand. I'll tell you, at some point, God, I ask you to show yourself real and alive in a fresh new way right here. Real and alive, God, right here. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for what you're doing by your Spirit right there. In Jesus' name. Let's all pray together. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God, with everything about my life. God, I'm getting on the right side of repentance tonight. My life's right with you. I'm going to heaven. I'll never smell the scent of hell because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.